Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're trying to get this running into life going here as we get up and over life's biggest challenges. And boy, have we got a couple of challengers here today. I don't even know if we're going to get this into a half-hour conversation here. So many obstacles they overcame. Well, I'll let them tell you. Karen, what'd you bring with you?
So if you go past and go back into our podcast, we actually did a podcast on these two ladies, and they said, we want to run the Everest Marathon. We want to do the trek that you did. And I go, perfect, because I have the perfect guide and guy to take you, and I know it's going to be an epic experience. So this is super fun. We haven't seen each other since they came back from this experience, and it is a mountain of experiences. So I'm going to just
let them introduce themselves. We'll start with Patty over there.
I'm Patty Bishop, and I live here locally.
And Patty, you're not 20. Why did you go to decide you're going
to run? I'm definitely not 20. I'm 55.
50? You just turned 55.
I just turned 55.
And you decide, well, we're going to talk about why in a moment, but you normally just go out and run in these Karen Ware events and other events around, and all of a sudden you got this wild idea that you're going to follow Karen Ware off into the wilderness and go up and run at Mount Everest. What did you call it?
What's the word for it? Because it was Michelle
FOMO.
That said, yeah,
FOMO.
It was Michelle that said, I'm going to go do this. And
let's bring in Michelle. Identify yourselves here, mystery guest.
Hi, I'm Michelle Scarantino, and just here with these lovely ladies to talk about our last adventure.
Now, you do look like you're 20.
No, of course. I definitely don't feel 20.
So I took these beautiful ladies out to dinner and just to get to know them, and knowing the experience and knowing, you know, I've been there twice, what they're getting into. And I was just so taken.
And because, they still went.
I was so taken because they were going for the right reasons. And Michelle's heart was, it's a bucket list. I always wanted to see the Himalayas. I know that I can just put one foot in front of the other and get my body there from village to village. And I'm all about meeting the people and what experience I'm going to have. And she said, by gosh, the goal is Everest Base Camp.
Yes.
The goal is. And then these ladies came up with a great idea. And they said, we want to be rewarded for this trek, not just getting to, you know, we come to all your races because you have great bling. And so there's no bling up there for the Everest. So we made one, and we made a little mini business for anyone else. And they
hold,
also
hold it up. Let's
yeah,
see
well,
the bling.
That's not this one. We have another one because it's such a challenge and it's such a neat experience just to get to Everest Base Camp. So let's tell us a little bit about it. What I want to hear about is the perils, the challenges, and starting out the gate. These two ladies go, oh, by the way, we're going to stay a couple of days in Dubai.
Before they tell me what they saw, I want to know why. Why, Patty, or Michelle?
No.
All of a sudden, you're having fun. You're good for you. You're fit. You're alive. You're out running. You go to Bolsa Chica, and you go to another event in Arizona, and you do this. You've gotten into this lifestyle. Why push yourself that far?
Why not push yourself that far?
Oh, okay. You're like my 5-year-old grandson.
That's right.
Why not?
Why not? It's just been a lifelong dream to get to Everest Base Camp and to go to Nepal. So,
had you ever known anybody that did it before you met Karen? Had you ever met anybody?
I actually did a wilderness program in college, and my wilderness teacher had summited Everest and shared pictures and his stories, and it just resonated. And ever since I was in my 20s, it kind of stuck around.
You said resonated. Yeah. I feel resonated that I can't do it.
And I just always thought I'm going to get there someday. And then once I hit my 50s, I thought it's starting to become now or never.
You know, it's really cool. I ran around this weekend and, you know, just running on paths and running into people. And I ran into a lot of people that actually watched. I heard us talking about you guys going, then watched the whole
thing
unfold and all the experiences. And they said, we're so delighted to know that we can do this at any age.
Yeah. You really can. Yeah. You know, you just have to set your mind to it. And just one step in front of the other, you never know what the altitude is going to do to you. You don't know.
Or the trip. Or
the trip.
Go through all of
and
this.
You just don't know what's going to happen. So you just keep trying
and
going.
So I want to start from
the
beginning.
I still got to hear Patty's. So Patty, why?
Michelle wanted to go.
Michelle wanted to go. And she said, why not?
I was thinking to myself, you know, she really can't go by herself.
No.
But I really wasn't ready to go when she first introduced the idea. And I said, there's no way I'm doing that. And then about 30 days later, I woke up in the middle of the night and I called her. I said, I have to go because I have FOMO. I'm going with you. Like, I just decided that I was going to go. I did think about it for a while, though, because I know that this is a huge trip.
And what does FOMO stand for those?
Fear of missing out. Because I'm thinking, if she's going to get that medal, I'm going to get that medal.
So these guys are neighbors. Yes. They live across the street from each other. Right. And so they watch each other come and go, and they decided to do these adventurous things.
Now, you both live rather normal lives.
We do.
You live here in Orange County.
We work.
They own their own businesses. They're incredible businesses.
And so, do we want to give a plug to your businesses? What do we do? Shout out.
A shout out for me? Okay, yeah. Planet Import, Habitudes, Living Walls. We got it all. Okay. We're all outdoor landscape people.
And Michelle.
Yeah, I work for RAF Pacifica Group in San Diego. And my boss, Adam and Whitney, gave the approval immediately when I asked for the time off, because it's, you know, a significant amount of time, and they supported my dreams and let me go.
Unbelievable. Yeah. All right, so why? I sort of understand why. Why not? Let's go. What, if not now, when?
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about what happened.
What happened? Because you're telling me in the lobby here 100 horror stories of just getting there. Let's just talk about getting. It can't be easy or cheap or quick to just get to Mount, to the base of Mount Everest here. So, Michelle, where does, like, tell me, or Patty. Patty was telling me horror stories. Yeah. They stole her luggage and crazy things.
Not in Nepal. So we want to put a disclaimer on that.
Well, Michelle and I decided to do a little stopover before we actually went to Nepal. And so we decided to stop in Dubai, which actually is a pretty cool, amazing,
absolutely amazing
country. And we had a fantastic experience until we got on the airplane to go over there.
So what happened when you got over there?
Well, someone decided to search my suitcase specifically and
ripped it open
pretty much, like actually cut the zipper off. So I had no zipper, and whatever they decided to take, they took quite a few things. So I was not exactly happy with that, because one of the things they took was one shoe.
Not two shoes,
but one shoe, and it was one of the shoes I needed for the trek. So I was really sad. Yes. But we worked it out, and I got to go shopping.
Yeah, and you know what she said? She goes, I'd recommend to anyone that goes, don't bring as much stuff, because shopping in Kathmandu is pretty amazing.
You don't need to bring really a lot of stuff.
I didn't know you could buy stuff in Kathmandu.
You can buy everything there.
And
everything
half the price.
And it's all built around trekking. Name brands, everything. They got it all.
So you don't need to carry all this. You would think, I'm going in the middle of nowhere, I got to take everything I need.
That's what we thought.
Yeah. And then here's the second challenge.
And we paid a lot of money to get our suitcases there.
Only take a certain amount of poundage on those small flights that take you to Lukla, and then you have to downsize it. So it's so funny to see their media input is like, here we are in this this beautiful hotel in Kathmandu with all of our luggage, and we had to pick and choose.
What can go and not go?
Oh, my gosh, and then it took us hours to pack. Yes. I'm not kidding.
Because then you weigh it, and it weighs too much, right?
And it was on the third floor. Our room was on the third floor.
Oh,
so we had to run our bag up and down three flights to weigh it.
Weigh it on the scale.
I won't ask you how much, but how long does it take to get there? Like a long time. You can't just get on a plane at Orange County Airport and a few hours later.
Halfway around the world. So,
So you have to have a layover on the way there. So ours on the way there was Dubai and then South Korea on the way back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about 20 hours.
In the air.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. Yeah, but it ends up it's a long time. You have to have connections, and it's spilling over in a couple of days.
All right, so you're there. And then
who did you meet? I want you guys to tell me. I want the world to hear about my son that I've adopted from Nepal.
Son in Nepal.
Yeah, he's an amazing.
Sudip is amazing. We kind of missed our first flight over to Kathmandu, and Sudip was waiting for us probably at the airport, and then we realized that we missed our first flight, but, you know, what's a little adventure to your adventure? And so then we got to meet him and his wife at the airport, and he is amazing, and so is his wife, so they were great. They were supposed to pick us up around 10 a.m., but we arrived at 10 p.m. So that's for another conversation.
And this is like a tiny little two-engine plane
or
something?
No, this is a regular airline.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Going from Dubai to Nepal, that's a
okay.
regular
yeah.
airline.
Yeah. So right. we got there. Patty had her luggage ransacked, but she handled it like a
world traveler
and just took it in stride, and we went out and she got all new stuff and a new suitcase and then we started our journey over to Nepal.
And how did you get to Lukla, which is the start of the trekking trails? And there, once you get to Lukla, there's no vehicle transportation after that.
Well, it's funny because you have to fly, as you were saying, from Kathmandu to Lukla. And Patty and I were very lucky in the morning. Sudip was there, and he's like, weather's coming in. We need to take a helicopter now. Huh. And we got on a helicopter. I was texting my family, telling them, we won't take the plane. We're taking the helicopter. And the response was, well, that doesn't really sound very smart either,
yeah.
taking a helicopter.
Oh, that's much safer.
Into a huge storm. So I have lots of pictures and video of just the screen being covered by red and the helicopter kind of working its way through the clear path. We landed, and apparently we were one of the last helicopters to land that day because the storm came in so badly.
Yeah.
But then we hit the ground walking.
Pretty much trekking right yeah. out the gate.
Yeah.
So you get out of the helicopter and they just say, come on.
Let's go.
Pretty much, yeah, because you have to get to your next, you have to get to the first village or the first stop because that's where you sleep and eat. So that's really important.
Yeah. Maybe.
And if you don't get there, yeah.
So we started our trek to the first village, and it was just beautiful and amazing, and our guide was awesome. And
yeah, Sudip's great.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Sudip, we wouldn't be there. Karen was talking through this when she talked about her experience. I didn't realize you can't just get on a bus when you get off
yep,
and drive up there. Or you can't do it right away because don't you have to sort of acclimate?
You have to trek up for a couple days, and yeah. you have an acclimatization day, and then you trek and then acclimate and trek.
The trek itself acclimates you, which is a neat experience because your body just gets used to it because it takes so much time to get from village to village. But it's pretty well spaced mm-hmm. because the culture is very calm. Time isn't of the essence like it is here at mm-hmm. the pace it is in Orange County. Time is a resource that they have, and so they just take their time.
Yeah.
And they take their time to enjoy each other. You'll see them, they know each other from villages mm-hmm. and history and stuff, and you'll see them talk and take the time to interact on the trail. And
Sudip has
amazing.
A lot of friends up there.
Yes, yes. And that says something about him, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, so a couple days trekking, walking, up this, and how high do you get to where is the base camp at? The base camp is where people launch their summits, but you didn't go that far. You just went to the base camp, and what height is that at?
It's just under 18,000 feet.
The base camp is at 18,000 feet.
Right. Yeah.
And so, some of the things that you tackle really isn't just base camp. It's, getting used to being able to sleep at certain elevations as you go by. But I really appreciate, I'm going to let Michelle share her experience, what it felt like to really actually make it there, because you can't get there unless you get there on your own 2 feet, your own willpower, your own
the bus doesn't take you
no. And so I want them to tell you what
feet.
That experience is.
Yeah.
Because you can't put it into words, and I just had to smile when I knew that they were going to go. I go, this is going to be life epic,
mm-hmm.
and it's overwhelming.
You so one of like, you said in the lobby, was that Michelle?
Patty, what? I think.
Me.
Patty said what when you got there? About crying or something.
Oh, well, first of all, this was the hardest thing I've ever done to my body. for me, personally, this was a very difficult trek. But, like Michelle said, you just put one foot in front of the other, and slow is safe, safe is fast. And Sudip was always like, you're doing well, you're doing well. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at him like, really? I'm like, okay.
He would just say, let's go slow, let's go slow.
How many miles or kilometers, how far do you walk? And how long
every day? Well, every day is a little different depending where your village is. But it's an average about 6 to 8 miles a day.
Okay.
And it's interesting. They never talk in kilometers or miles.
Yeah.
They talk
everything
in hours.
Is hours.
Mm-hmm. It's like, it'll take you about four or five, six hours
today, 3 hours today, because 6 hours, 8 hours today.
So
I'm like, what?
It takes hours because of the height and the difficulty.
Because you're going into ravines, and sometimes you're like, this is the biggest tease. Wait, I just climbed all the way up here, and I'm going to go all the way down.
I know. That was definitely rough. When you'd go down by the river, and it's beautiful, but you knew
then
every you time you went
go,
down, that just
you,
meant back
yeah,
up.
You have
but
to go right back
have
up.
To, they have to water the yaks and the animals, and so the trekking trail takes on the history of
it's a life of its own.
And you said when you finally got there that you just broke down literally and just
when I got to the top.
But a good overwhelm. I mean,
so talk about that. What happened? I mean, you weren't expecting that.
No, I was not. When we did finally reach base camp, I was just really overwhelmed with emotion that I wasn't expecting to come out of me, because first of all, I was so proud that I made it, because I didn't know what I would be able to do. Mm-hmm. And the challenges that we, in the last week together, the things that Michelle and I personally had to overcome together and then just individually. And I just broke down and I just started crying like a baby, because I was like, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm
can't
here. Like, I made
I'm
it.
Here. Yeah.
Like, of all the things that it took for us to get here and all the roadblocks that we had, mm-hmm. I was like, we did it. Like, we did it.
Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
I was really proud of myself.
And how many days from the time you got on that first flight here in Orange County or wherever you started the flight from, maybe LAX or whatever, but how many days from
From LAX, it's about 3 weeks. From Lukla, when you first fly in to start the trek, it's about 10 days.
Oh, my. I thought you were going to say like 3 days. You left LAX, and 3 weeks later, you're crying on the top of at the
pretty
base
much.
it's a commitment.
It's a huge commitment, yes.
But, you know, if
that's
you,
why it's
scheme,
so special.
In the scheme of life, think about what experience that you get to do doing that, and it's so worth it. I could see the nodding on their face. Mm-hmm. We would part our 30 days or whatever it took to do this.
We're used to 30 minutes.
Yeah,
so I want to go somewhere. If I have more than a half an hour, I'm looking at my watch going,
Michelle has a really good story about one of our acclimation days, and I'm really glad that it was an acclimation day, but I think she should share it.
Yeah, go
ahead. I don't know necessarily a good story, but a story. And it was one of the 8-hour hike days the day before up to Namche. So it was a very hard, long, rough day. Mainly just all uphill for as long as you could see all day long.
Lots of stairs.
Lots of stairs. Anyway, that night I thought I was getting a safe meal. I got pasta, and they put cheese on it, but it has yak cheese.
Ooh.
And the bacteria we're not used to. So about an hour and a half later, I was deathly sick and violently ill. The worst I've ever been. I'm actually still recovering. I think I've had 2 cups of coffee since I've been back from that. And my stomach's still very fragile.
I'm very
careful, and I was sick for 24 hours, like violently ill. I was worried I had altitude sickness.
Doctor or
Sudip just kind of watched over
Sudip
me.
Sudip was our doctor
and just paid attention to me. Mm-hmm. He did take my oxygen to make sure it wasn't altitude sickness, but he knew it wasn't. I knew it wasn't for how sick I was and how fast after dinner I was. That so Patty walked the whole village and found me some crackers and 7-Up.
I did.
And did they let you just rest for a day?
So that
or
was
two,
an acclimatization day. So thank God that was a day that we stayed in the village for the day.
Because otherwise they'd say, what? Come on, let's start walking.
I would not have been able to do anything that day. We had to hike up a little bit higher and come back down. That's what you do on your acclimatization days. And that took me forever. And it was painful and it was long and hard. I did it. But then I came back and was in bed for the rest of the day. Thank God I woke up in the morning and I felt fine enough to continue the trek, but there was several people that did get sick, and a gentleman we met at base camp that got sick 2 years earlier and ended up in the hospital for a week. So moral of that story is don't eat any dairy and don't eat any other meat. So I was like, ate a lot of rice, but that's okay. I got through it and I was fine, but a lot of different stories of people actually on this trip that got
I can't
food
think
poisoning.
Of anything I've done in my life, I'm in my late 60s, that took 3 weeks to get there. In other words, I hear stories of the pioneers coming across the country.
That's what it felt like.
3 or 4 weeks coming across the country.
Yes.
You know, we get in, it's 3 or 4 hours on a plane or 3 or 4 days in a car. it's not 3 or 4 weeks to do anything.
There's no rushing altitude.
And
no.
You get to know yourself in a way that is fun to get to know yourself. I mean, you're taking yourself
with you. How so?
But,
what does that mean? I get to know myself.
But really quick, I wanted to just bring it back really quick because I was really, really proud of Michelle because I know she was hurting and struggling. Mm-hmm. But the day that we were acclimating, we did have to hike up a little bit to come back down. And that was the first time that we got to see Everest.
That is so very true.
That was really special.
And
we're like, oh my God, the clouds literally opened for a moment where we were standing because it was the first viewing, the first day that you can view it.
Yeah.
And it's like, God spread it open for us and then closed them.
Yeah, because I don't think people realize you can't actually see Everest on the hike.
I thought you see it the whole time.
Yeah, no. That's what everybody, and I thought so as well in the beginning, but there's really only about 3 or 4 spots where you can see Everest. Yeah.
Even at base camp, because you're right at the base, you don't see Everest. You have to go
I was really proud of her because I know she was hurting.
Yeah.
So let's go back to what Karen casually says. Yes. You take yourself along, you get to know yourself. People say that kind of stuff, and we all nod. I don't know what that means. I've never gotten to know myself. Does that mean you got to struggle? Is there like you're looking deep in your soul?
No,
why am I doing that? What does that
mean? Patty's reaction to herself when she made it to Everest Base Camp is awesome. It almost brings tears to my eyes knowing that. And it was the same experience, you know, for me. Is like it gives you, it lets you know you have it within you to be who you really are,
yes.
If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it just gives you confidence in all kinds of other things. And, you know, and you guys know my story. I had to be left behind this time. And it was the hardest thing I've ever done. Talk about tears in my... and I had to go through a kidney stone operation.
Time.
Yeah. And it ended up going a little awry. They go, oh, we hope that doesn't happen too often. And what they did is they shattered them instead of powdered them. So I ended up passing about 20.
You didn't pass one. You passed 20 little ones because they shattered them.
And so I spent time in and out of the hospital for, you know, a week. Well, but it felt like that Everest Mountain experience. And you know what? I could do that. And the doctor said, you're healing so fast. Your attitude's amazing. You know, where does this come from? And you know where it comes from? It comes from the opportunities I've taken to do things like this that I know, you know, I can get through this.
Isn't that the whole point of this story and kind of your life, Karen? Where, like the logo behind you says, here's this storm of junk coming at us here. No problems, obstacles, hurdles, money, pain, life, kids, family, careers, whatever. And you can either hunker down in the storm or you can get up and run into the storm.
So yes, I pick yourself up and just do it. You have to.
I'm pretty sure for them being gone and parting the schedule in U.S. as prominent as these businesswomen are, there was a lot that hit them right from the gate. Probably, you know, you do get cell service up there and things come in on text. You're like, uh-oh.
That'd be horrible. There's a problem back at the office and we need to know how to change the paper.
Eventually, we did not have Wi-Fi.
Which
so
was
there was
great.
About 4 days where you were just off the grid.
Yeah,
and
that
what
was
is
great.
That? And tell us about that because then you're just out there with.
I'd have a nervous
nature,
breakdown if I was off the grid.
No, it's actually kind of nice. Mm-hmm.
I definitely think it resets you. We don't realize what a bad habit we have of just getting on social media all the time, having constant feedback of politics or
email,
anything,
newsletters,
everything,
pictures,
and just realizing, you know, I don't need this in my life as much as I was having it before. That's a good reset.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was at least.
Awesome.
So what did you learn from this experience? We'll start with Patty first here, because you just went along. You were just afraid of missing out. what was it that you didn't know that you do now?
To slow down and just really enjoy life. Life is short. We saw a few people helicoptered out that didn't get to make it because they don't listen to others.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that...
What does that mean? They just keep going or keep pushing or do whatever they want to do? Or
yeah, like, you got to listen to your body. You got to listen to your mind, your soul, like, just your whole being inside, because what you do for yourself is right for yourself, regardless of what other people tell you to do. And Sudip always told us, you know, just listen to me. I will help you. I will help you. And when we were struggling with certain things, I said, well, I'm feeling this. okay, it's okay to do this, and then do it. Do what they say. Mm-hmm. Like, do what your Sherpas say, because they know what they're doing.
Because once you get the altitude sickness, there's no
going back.
There's going back. Yeah, so they have to take you down.
You have to take you down.
But we're Americans.
I know.
And
I know.
Don't listen to anybody.
And Michelle and I, by the way, I looked it up. We were the only two Americans to finish the half marathon.
Wow.
Oh. Yes. That's funny. I didn't look anything up. I just know I finished.
Let's talk about that for a second. So now, this is insane. 3 weeks to get there, all the hurdles, all the pain, all the problems, all the fear, all the anxieties, all the unknowns, pushing beyond the boundaries of what you've ever done. And now you get there, and you do what? You run?
We run down.
And then we get there. Most people helicopter out of base camp. So we then we did the half marathon out. Some people did the full.
Some people did the full.
And that what, you're literally running back down the hill?
And
some people run.
It's kind of down and up.
Like the Nepalis have an advantage. They run. We walked.
It was great. It was just one more chapter, too. Yes.
And the cool thing is the whole town of Namche is there to celebrate. Every single person that comes in is a winner. Mm-hmm. And
you can't just get one of those on eBay, folks.
It's the last day of the trekking season. And tell us about you guys, because you're passing the yaks and all these all this equipment that's coming out of Everest Base Camp, because they have to break it down for the season.
Oh, it's so crazy.
And you see the loads that they're carrying for the...
It's amazing what these porters carry on their backs.
Oh, my gosh.
It's unbelievable.
At high altitude, in difficult terrain.
Right. And tell us the experience. So, isn't it neat to come to those? You know, you do have a lodge to come to, and they're set up to, you know, feed you something, and it's a warm meal, and it's a warm place. It's a warm place, you guys, only in the actual lodge. They only put their fires on because it's very. And that one of the things too.
This is when you get back down to the bottom
about,
or something.
Eating the food, they have to use
on your trek up
and stuff like that. So there is bacteria. You have to be really careful if anything that they bake, that they make for the Westerners. And if the Nepalis won't eat it, then we probably shouldn't either.
they bake that. Sudip was very good. We would show him things that we were thinking of eating, and he would go, "No, no, that one's okay."
Yeah, he would point out, "This is good. This is good." That's a no.
one of the other challenges of this trek is as you go higher, you're staying in tea houses all the way up. And, you know, at first the tea houses have flushing toilets. Then
good amenities.
You get to some tea houses with maybe a toilet, but you have to fill the toilet with water so that it can flush. And then you get to where you're sharing your toilets with everybody and sharing your showers
with
everybody.
Yeah, it only gets worse as you go higher.
Yeah, so as you go higher.
You lose a lot of amenities.
Nice little holes in the ground that you can use for your toilet. So there are some hard parts that really push you. You go...
Or
the side of the mountain. And you go several days without showering. So there's definitely... That's the getting to know your body part. Yeah. That's part of it. Is
and I'm struck by one of the other things you said. We do a show here, we do a couple of health shows on the network here. And part of it is listen. They always say, listen to your body. Mm-hmm. We don't listen to our body. Give me a pill. Let me just push through. I can't sleep. Give me a pill. Mm-hmm. My knee hurts. Give me a shot. Mm-hmm. Do something. We don't listen to our body. Just cover it up. I'm going to keep going here. But you can't do that. You've got to listen to your body. You said if you get altitude sickness, you can't just suck it up.
Nope.
You're done.
You're done if you get altitude sickness. Yeah.
And so it was interesting. You know, we're both in our 50s, and there were men and women younger, healthier. They just kept pushing themselves, and they weren't listening to their body, and they were helicoptered out. You would see them and just sitting in the dining hall not looking well, and then a couple hours later, they had their oxygen tanks on, a couple hours later, they're helicoptered out. Or the rooms are walls are very thin, so you can hear everything, and I would wake up in the morning, and I would let Patty know somebody was up vomiting all night. We're going to see it, somebody getting helicoptered out this morning, and sure enough, you know, so... You if you didn't slow down, that you had no control. The altitude will control what will happen.
When did we as Americans think that this is good not to listen? Not just to listen to authority. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Or listen to your guide. Yeah. You know, I can give you 100 examples in my life where I didn't listen and I got in trouble. Silly things, stupid things, particularly out in nature, because you just run out there like it's no big deal. you're way out of nature.
Well, I think you said it earlier. We want instant gratification.
Yes.
Nobody wants to listen to their body and say, well, instead of going to the doctor tomorrow, I'm actually going to exercise every day,
yeah,
eat healthy every right day, not drink any alcohol, and see how I feel in 30 days from now.
Yeah.
And I could bet 100 to 1 you will not be going to the doctor in 30 days from now.
Yeah.
You will almost have self-healed yourself.
Did you prep yourself for this?
But people don't listen to their body, and they want fast results.
One morning, are you just eating Cheerios and I don't know, whatever, and then the next day you're healthy? I mean,
it takes time. That's the thing. It takes time. You can't. Everybody wants instant gratification here, and I think up there too. So people want to get to the next village quick. They want to look at me. Look how healthy I am, and I'm running around.
Yeah, we were never fast getting to our village.
We self-acclimated as we trekked because we're smart.
We are.
This is something I super learned from this experience, plus doing Kilimanjaro in Africa. They have a saying, and I think that you guys came up with one in Nepal, a little nickname, but they have a thing called poli poli, and they mean slowly, slowly. And the actual better experience goes to the person that's not elevating their heart rate.
Yes, the turtle gets the prize.
Yeah, and it was, and the turtle gets a prize in relishing the experience and listening to the sounds and hearing the streams.
But we don't think that here in Orange County.
And taking everything in. I mean, the scenery is beautiful. It's very, very beautiful. And the weather changes instantly. Mm-hmm. Could be snowing, raining, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of you ladies.
And we got to spend the night at base camp. That was Michelle and I.
That was
really cool.
Yes.
We woke up to snow. It was like a white Christmas in the morning. It was so neat.
Goodness.
It was just beautiful.
And that doesn't just happen easily. Everything has to be permitted now in base camp. And so it's really cool that they do offer the marathon experience.
Yes.
Because it goes sliding in there right at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Monsoon season's hit already. In fact, if you guys look at the news, there's some horrible flooding happening in Kathmandu. Mm. And they have to live through months and months of being hunkered down and cut off in their villages.
Before these insane ladies from America show up and say, show me how to do this.
Yeah, and you know what? Sudo didn't say they're insane ladies. I'm so proud of us as Americans. Mm. There is a part of us that is really, we have a coffee cup and we put it on the table, and the rest of Europe has little saucers, and they're like, what's wrong with these Americans? We're pioneers.
Yeah.
And that pioneer experience of our nation is in us. And the whole trekking,
she's trying to prompt another conversation.
I'm trying to talk you all into coming because I have we're in the world adventures, and I want everyone that's out there.
Everyone should experience this once in their lifetime, for sure.
Definitely highly recommend going. It's there's nothing else that compares to this, and
it's absolutely worth everything.
Races
it was so
around the world.
Fun to showcase this to everybody, and then we have a YouTube that we put together, a real fast one to show you what their experience was. So go to Karen. Caren Ware, Ware Events, and the YouTube channel, and just watch the last one of their trekking experience, because now you're not just hearing it from me.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back and see my Everest experience. You're hearing it from two ladies that they actually said people were betting when they landed in Lukla, they were betting that, those Americans aren't going to make it.
They're not going to make it.
And it was
American. They're too old.
Suburban women from Orange County.
And it was the rocky experience this summer. it was the rocky moment. I think that's what she was feeling of. If you remember the movie in Rocky and, the underdog. We're going to prove something to them because it's important to us, and it's.
I wish I had
goal.
That music. All right. Final thoughts from Patty, and then give Michelle the last word because she came up with this crazy idea. Patty, what final thoughts?
And we're going to tell them out there to come.
What hit you when I say what was it like? You say what?
Live your dreams.
Live your dreams. Okay, Michelle.
I love that. I'm kind of, you only live once. Get out there, explore the world. And travel and meet different people from around the world. You only live once. This is not a dress rehearsal.
This is not a dress rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And I'll throw in my little thought. It starts with taking one step at a time.
It does. Yes.
Does that step start at Karen Ware Events?
Can I take the step?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. What's the next event coming up for those? We're doing this right now at the end of June in 2025 for those listening in the future. What comes up? Don't you have some events like in a week or two?
And what we do with Karen Ware, again, that's Karen with the C, C-A-R-E-N.
Because you care.
W-A-R-E. And last word event, if you go to KarenWareEvents.com, I put on one major themed race in Southern California, and I make it major. I make it be an experience that when you get out of the car, I don't want you to say, oh, I wish I hadn't gotten up this morning. I want you to feel camaraderie and that fitness is alive and active in your life. And so we throw a theme at it, and then we give you bling, because obviously bling is really important. We give you great medals and shirts. And the next one, I think I have it sitting here. The next one coming up is 4th of July. We're taking over Irvine Valley College.
Nice.
There's no students there during that day, so we get a permit to use the college, and we're going to do.
And you have like Fife and Pipe and Pipe and Fife, or whatever that is, that the little, they walked around Yankee Doodle with the little Fife.
And the fun part of them, they're actually from the mountain community that I have my base camp cabin in. And up in Lake Arrowhead, Green Valley Lake, and half of them are cross-country runners. So they do your fife and drums, but watch them. They'll get that thing off, go run the thing, come back, and put the
costume on. All right, so that's coming up when?
On 4th of July, on Friday this year.
Okay.
And the actual, because you guys have the day off, so no excuses out there. But these are little mini wins. I took these ladies hiking to Crass Peak in the San Bernardino Mountains. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be the Himalayas. Mm-hmm. But we can start with these little projects. But I also have so many people that said, I've always dreamed, and it's a dream. Let's make those dreams turn into
And that's the kind of people I see. You're representative. When I went out to Karen's events, I thought it'd be all buff, hardcore runners. There are some of those. But there's an awful lot of just everyday people, every age, from little kids to 80 or 90-year-olds, all climbing their own mountain. I just had surgery. I just had a pacemaker. I just want to run with my grandsons and kids. There's some challenge they're trying to do, and it starts at these local events, and then some of them get motivated to go all the way to Mount Everest.
it's a very supportive community. I do want to mention that, because Patty got me into the runner's world, and I was like, I'm not a runner. I can't do half marathons.
Right.
She kept telling me, you can do it. You can do it. And in the beginning, I did walk, run, jog, do all of it. Now I really just kind of walk, and walking is actually so good for your body. And just get up. You can take a nap later. Get up in the morning, and get out there and move your body. We're built to move, and we need to get out there and just move your body. And like you were saying, Paul, it's every walk of life. And I was intimidated my first race, and I'll never forget it, because it was in Huntington, and, everybody's healthy, and everybody's young,
and
everybody's
beautiful, and they're young.
Exactly, and that's what I thought, too. But it was every walk of life, and everyone's cheering everybody on, and it's so beautiful to see the last person crossing that finish line that had such a huge struggle, and everyone's there cheering them on. It's such a supportive community.
I saw some guy with a walker.
I mean,
he must have been, I don't know, 80, 90 or something. There was a couple of people in their 80s.
Yeah, we have a guy that's 90 years old with a walker that has dealt with Parkinson's.
So, just get out there and move your body. And
that's why we call it the something for everybody and everybody races.
And what struck me is everybody's doing the same thing that Patty did when she got to base camp. I'm stunned by how many people cross the line and start crying.
Yeah.
It's pretty
neat. Like,
it does.
Wow. And I'm like, you just went a couple of miles here. You can't imagine. I got Parkinson's. I got this. I haven't done this. Or what? I haven't done anything like this. So there are personal challenges along the way. And if you really get challenged, who knows where it'll end up.
That's right.
Everybody wants to know what's next. What's after Everest?
Oh, gosh.
Kilimanjaro. I got to talk these ladies. Because we got another guide over there.
There'll be something.
Equally amazing.
There'll be something. Right now, I kind of will compare it to having birth, giving birth.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
It's too soon to talk about the next child. I haven't recovered yet.
I love that.
We'll go back and just enjoy our 5Ks for a while.
So where can we post and see your journey? Did you put it? Are you going to put it on Karen's site or your own site?
We have a YouTube.
I
slapped a YouTube together because I wanted you guys to experience, from the get go.
And that's all where Karen Ware Events.
It's at Karen.Ware.Events YouTube channel.
Okay.
And I think it's the last one we just posted.
First of many. I expect now they'll be all over the world and they'll be reporting.
Why not?
Who knows where it goes? Thank you so much for coming in and joining us. What an amazing
journey! Thank you.
You put me to shame. I wonder if I can get up on a Saturday morning and go out and run a couple of miles here.
You can.
You just put me to shame here. Thank you very much for coming out here.
Thank you.
All right. Well, there you have it. One more reason to tune in, Running Into Life. I guess you really can get up and get over life's biggest challenges. living proof of that today. And if you want to start, go check out Karen Ware Events. Start putting one foot in front of the other here locally and see where it leads. As we continue to report on this journey of finding your fit here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation.